It is 5 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
Top U.S. public health official warns Ebola still has the upper hand in West Africa. The World Health Organization closes an Ebola testing lab in Sierra Leone. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. A senior U.S. public health official meeting Tuesday in Monrovia with Liberia's President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf said the deadly Ebola outbreak still has the upper hand, but experts have the means to stop it. Dr. Tom Frieden of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control said a lot of hard work is being done and good things are happening to combat the deadly virus. President Sirleaf fired an unknown number of government officials who defied her order to return to the country to help fight the outbreak. They were told to return to work within a week of her state of emergency announcement August 6th. The World Health Organization has shuttered one of its Ebola testing laboratories in Sierra Leone after a staff member there became infected with the virus. Ebola has killed more than 420 people and sickened more than 2,600 since the outbreak began in February. UN spokesman Stéphane Dujarric said the disease is taking a heavy toll on healthcare workers.
To date, more than 240 healthcare workers have developed the disease in Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone, and more than 120 have died.
Nigeria's health minister Tuesday said authorities have contained the Ebola outbreak, with only one of 13 known cases still being treated in isolation. However, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, officials there say they're preparing for a months-long battle after 13 people died after contracting the virus in the country's remote northeast. Speaking in the Guinean capital Conakry Tuesday, the UN's top Ebola envoy, Dr. David Nabarro, described the fight as a war which could take up to 6 months to defeat. This is VOA News. The African Development Bank has cautioned Tuesday the Ebola outbreak could cut economic growth in the four affected West African countries by up to 1.5% this year. Nigeria said resumption of classes in all public and private schools will be delayed by a month so preventive measures against Ebola can be put in place. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization warned Tuesday a looming food crisis could impact eastern Sierra Leone, which has been effectively quarantined over the virus. And British Airways has extended to 2015 its suspension of flights to Liberia and Sierra Leone. Nigerian officials say they're cracking down on hunting and discouraging the use of wild animals for entertainment to try to control the spread of the virus, and the Murdoch reports.
Since the first case of Ebola in Nigeria in July, the government has conducted a massive nationwide campaign encouraging sanitation and discouraging interaction with animals and bushmeat, which can spread the disease to people who pass it to each other through bodily fluids. A spokesman for the Kaduna State government, Ahmed Mayakim, says his state is now enforcing already in place hunting bans to keep hunters away from animals and to halt the sale of bushmeat.
We have a responsibility to safeguard, you know, the lives and, the welfare and well-being of our people.
Hunters say enforcing this ban is not difficult now when heavy rains keep most of them at home. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
A UN peacekeeping helicopter crashed in South Sudan Tuesday, killing three crew members. The Russian-contracted helicopter with a Russian crew was on a routine cargo flight when it went down near the northwest town of Bentiu. A spokesman for opposition leader Riek Machar told VOA there have been clashes near Bentiu. Fighting between supporters of South Sudanese President Salva Kiir and former deputy Machar has left at least 10,000 dead since December. Jen Psaki is a U.S. spokesperson.
Both parties have obstructed the peace process. Both are accountable. It will require both, as well as the engagement with countries in the region, in order to move things forward. Can we predict what the outcome will be? Unfortunately not, but our view is that the current path is certainly unsustainable. The violence, the humanitarian situation is one that needs to be addressed. And we feel if the parties in the region can remain engaged and continue to increase their engagement, that will help move the process forward.
Peace talks in Ethiopia have made little significant progress despite international sanctions and threats of further punitive measures. At least 17 people have been killed in Central African Republic in clashes between factions of the former rebel movement Salika. The fighting erupted Monday in the central town Bambari. The leader of one of the factions told VOA Tuesday a dispute over the control of a checkpoint sparked the violence. CAR has endured chronic sectarian violence since the mainly Muslim Salika rebels toppled the government in March last year. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Liberia's president fires some cabinet ministers for staying out of the country in the wake of Ebola.
I believe the president's order was basically to say to all, this is the time when we need to stand up because our country needs us, our people desperately need us.
Louis Brown is Liberia's information minister. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization says Ebola threatens Liberia's food security. A rapidly spreading cholera kills 45 people in Ghana. Cameroon redoubles its efforts to combat Boko Haram. And a UN helicopter crashes in South Sudan, killing three.
The helicopter was on a routine cargo flight with the mission when contact was lost. The mission is currently launched an investigation to determine the cause of the crash.
Stéphane Dujarric is spokesman for the UN mission in South Sudan. And a Nigerian filmmaker in Texas explores African cultural issues. Those stories plus Mark Oldman, Sports and Our Listener of the Day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has ordered the dismissal of junior and senior level cabinet ministers who, in the wake of the deadly Ebola outbreak, left the country and have yet to return. A week ago, Sirleaf gave cabinet ministers who left the country 1 week to return or face dismissal, except for those with serious health-related excuses. Information Minister Louis Brown says, although the list of those affected is still being compiled, it includes the chairman of the National Investment Commission and a bunch of deputy and assistant cabinet ministers. Critics say the exodus of government officials is adding to an already state of uncertainty in the country. Brown tells me President Sirleaf wants all her cabinet ministers to join the fight against Ebola.
You might remember that about a week and a half ago, the president actually issued an ultimatum that she wanted all officials of the executive branch back home, paying very close attention and working with colleagues in making sure that we provided this fight with all of the help it needs and can get. And so many officials actually honored this return home. They were on various levels of assignment. They've all returned home, but a few still have not. In fact, the list is still being compiled. So with the expiry of the deadline, the president proceeded to issue dismissal orders.
I know you said the list is still being compiled. Could you give us just an example in terms of some of the more important names?
They are mostly deputy and assistant ministers. It also includes the chairman of the National Investment Commission, who doubles over or enjoys the rank of a full cabinet minister.
Mr. Minister, these are very tough times in the history of Liberia. Does President Sirleaf feel that these ministers have abandoned the country in its time of need?
You're right. This is a time of difficulty and a time of extreme need, not just for the government, but for the people. And the duty of every government is to be able to respond to the needs of its people, especially democratic governments. This is a scourge that requires all of us to work together to give support to lead agencies, including the Ministry of Health, to make sure that they have all of the support that we can muster to provide them the capacity they need to be able to help the country deal with this situation. And so I believe the president's order was basically to say to all, this is the time when we need to stand up because our country needs us, our people desperately need us. You remember the president herself cut off her own trip to the United States to attend a U.S.-Africa leadership summit. Although she would have liked to be there, but the extraordinary circumstances at home demanded our fullest attention. I think she wanted to convey that to the entire nation and to all those who are rightfully official members of our family.
We did talk last week about the incident at West Point. The Minister of Defense has come out to say that the boy who died from a bullet wound. Is that an admission that the military shot at the people?
That is why this board of inquiry has been established to determine the facts and circumstances and report within a time-specific period. so that if there are remedial actions to be taken, they can be informed by the report. But also, and perhaps even more importantly, that we can learn lessons from this so that we don't repeat this now or in the future.
Liberia's Information Minister Louis Brown was speaking with me from the capital, Monrovia. The Ebola epidemic is raising serious concerns about food security in Liberia, the country hardest hit by the outbreak in West Africa. As VS Jody Kapua reports, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization will conduct rapid assessments of the situation.
Food security in Liberia is being threatened on a number of fronts, mostly due to fear of infection. For example, food imported by ships and planes may not arrive as often, and Liberian farmers, who often work in groups to boost production, are not doing so. Joseph Bwewu is the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's Assistant Country Representative for Program in Liberia.
This is a serious situation that we all need to be very concerned about. Even prices are increasing. If ships are not coming into this country, we depend mostly on import. What about food? Those are serious concerns that we need to take on board and think about Liberia.
He says Ebola has spread in the farming regions.
As we speak, you will notice the total number of cases in this country has reached up to 1,378. And Lofa County is one of the breadbasket counties of this country. And the cases there have gone up to 542. So all the countries, including Lima, are affected.
The World Health Organization regularly issues updated figures on the Ebola outbreak. So the numbers mentioned by Bwewu at the time of the interview may rise. Efforts are underway to persuade Liberian farmers to return to working in groups. But the FAO's Bwewu says that's easier said than done.
One of the methods that they have given that will help people to stay away from the Ebola is to avoid being in groups. So farmers, they are not in groups again. We have been trying to organize farmer-based organizations where you have farmers working in groups. And individual farming is very small. They can't produce sufficient as individuals, so we encourage them to work in groups. But group farming now is just not possible due to this Ebola. So they are all afraid.
What's more, movement has been restricted in some Liberian counties. The FAO has been monitoring food prices in Monrovia. For example, the price of the staple cassava is reported to have increased by 150%. Pepper is up 133%. The UN agency's rapid assessments will determine what the food price hikes are outside of the capital. The agency says there's urgent need for short-cycled vegetable production, as well as urgent support for fishermen to enable them to increase their catch. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
A quickly spreading cholera outbreak in Ghana has killed at least 45 people over the past 2 months, according to the United Nations Children's Fund. Since June, UNICEF says it has recorded more than 5,000 cases of the disease. Kasim Yakubom, a water and sanitation expert for the agency in Ghana, tells Ricky Shryak that the rapidly spreading outbreak is becoming very serious.
Why cholera is spreading fast? I think first it has to do with attitude of people, because year after year, there's education on how people could comport themselves through practicing good personal hygiene. But there again, you realize that we fall short. Anytime there's cholera, surprisingly, people get infected easily, and then it tends to spread out. That is one barrier, that is attitudinal. People do not change their attitude. So this thing keeps on going on.
Is waste disposal a contributing factor to the spread of cholera?
Yes, it is. It is a major factor. If waste are dumped at places that are not right, then people easily get in contact with it. And this is tends to spread cholera very fast, because last 2 weeks or so, there's a market in Accra where there's a heap of garbage. It looks scary as far as cholera is concerned. So what happened is that the government had to move in fast, with the vice president visiting the site, and with that advocacy role played by the vice president, they quickly disposed of all the garbage in that market. I'm talking of a market around a place called Agboglossi Market.
With West Africa on such a high public health alert due to the Ebola outbreak, are there concerns that misinformation will spread and panic will happen and it will make the cholera outbreak worse?
I think as far as the Ebola is concerned, it is a major concern for Ghanaians because it tends to create some sort of fear and panic. Because with the current outbreak of cholera in the country, we're finding it very difficult to bring it under control. So people are just saying that if we are not being able to bring the cholera situation under control, then what is going to happen if Ebola should just come into the country? I mean, we're going to struggle to handle it. So there's this fear and panic in the country.
That was Kasim Yakubon, a water and sanitation officer for the United Nations Children's Fund in Ghana. He was speaking to Ricky Shriaki from Dakar, Senegal. It is Wednesday morning, August 27th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is now 16 minutes past the hour. Cameroon says it is redoubling its efforts to end violence by the Nigeria-based Islamist militant group Boko Haram on its territory. The group this week reportedly forced the Nigerian troops to cross into Cameroon, and Information Minister Issa Chiroma says military collaboration between the two neighboring countries remains strong despite Cameroon's decision to close its borders with Nigeria due to the ongoing Ebola outbreak there. Chiroma tells reporter Peter Clotty that the government in Yaounde helped the Nigerian soldiers to safely return to their country.
Well, as far as the Cameroon, the government is concerned, the head of state made it a point of honor to curb the situation, to handle it the best way in order to get rid of the insurgent Boko Haram. In this process, indeed, no stone will be left unturned. And the commitment is full. Our soldiers are determined to face this challenge, no matter how tough, happen what may. As far as the Nigerian soldiers are concerned, indeed, they were almost 700. They crossed the border, and they wanted us to give them the support they need, not in order to fight, because we don't know exactly what took place, but they crossed our border. We welcomed them, given the fact that we are in close relation with Nigeria, and we facilitated their temporary stay in our country. And they were taken back to their own nation some hours later.
What facilitation did Cameroon put across to help them return to their country?
Well, but the collaboration between the two nations is completely full. Whenever and wherever need be, if we do have any information dealing with this problem, given the fact that we are in close relation, we share information in order to protect and to protect our borders. Cameroon will remain our soldier, the force of security and defense. They have the instruction to defend our frontier, our border. So they will fight for as long as they will be assaulted. They will storm by Boko Haram, but they will not cross our border. We will remain in our nation to protect our frontier and our nation. And I can tell you that the collaboration with Nigeria is complete. And this is taking place within the agreement withdrawn by the two nations. So there is no problem as far as the collaboration between the two nations is concerned.
Talking about collaboration militarily, will this be hampered because Cameroon closed its border with them? And will this affect the fight against Boko Haram that you are cooperating with the Nigerian military to defeat this insurgency?
First of all, as far as the Nigeria is concerned, I am not entitled to make any comment, and it is easy to understand. I'm talking on behalf of the government, and as far as Cameroon is concerned with this problem, we say that we have decided not to spare any effort to contain the aggression and to pull them back, to keep them out of our nation. And as I said, many other nations have promised to give us the assistance, including the United States, where you are based right now, European Union, France, China, United Kingdom, all those nations have promised to give us the necessary support.
Issa Chiroma is Cameroon's information minister. He spoke with reporter Peter Clotty from the capital, Yaoundé. A United Nations helicopter crashed on Tuesday in South Sudan, killing three people. Martha van der Wolf reports for VOA from Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa.
A helicopter working for the UN mission in South Sudan crashed Tuesday near Bentiu in Unity State. UN spokesman Stéphane Ducharek says only one crew member survived the crash.
The UN mission in South Sudan can confirm that three crew members of a helicopter contracted by the United Nations died today when it crashed near Bentiu in Unity State. One surviving crew member has received treatment from Médecins Sans Frontières in Bentiu.
The crew members were Russian contractors. A spokesman of the opposition forces says government forces and the opposition were fighting again near Bentiu despite reaching a ceasefire agreement on Monday. The exact circumstances for the crash are still unclear, says Ducharek.
The helicopter was on a routine cargo flight with the mission when contact was lost. The mission has currently launched an investigation to determine the cause of the crash.
The incident happened in a government-controlled area 2 days after opposition forces apprehended a UN helicopter due to confusion about clearance papers. Before the helicopter was released, one person who was monitoring the ceasefire died due to a heart attack. The UN peacekeeping mission in South Sudan has a mandate to protect civilians, monitor human rights, and assist with humanitarian issues. Despite multiple ceasefire accords, fighting has raged in South Sudan since December between troops of government President Salva Kiir and soldiers loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Many Africans left their respective countries to find opportunities in other countries, but they take with them some cultural traditions that can create problems. One example is tardiness, an issue that is tackled by Texas-based Nigerian filmmaker Kelechi Eki. He makes Nollywood-style films that focus on the lives of African immigrants as well as important issues back in Africa. Viewer's Greg Flickers has this report from Houston, Texas.
Using a public park in Houston for an African setting, Kelechi Eke and his crew are making a music video to help promote his recent movie, African Time.
You know you gotta be aware of time in your life. You don't need to run, you just gotta know. The time is money.
The music video is a quick way for people to get a general idea of what the movie is about.
With humor, the film takes on the African tendency to arrive late.
African time is obvious. They know that, you tell Africans to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, they show up at 6.
Angolan singer Angelina Katumbela suggested the video as a way to promote the film, her singing career, and African punctuality.
There are consequences whenever you are late. That's the message of the song.
And speaking of which, you're late right now, too.
Yes, I'm late. Oh, my gosh. African time, so let's go.
Eke and Katumbela work closely on the choreography and staging of this video, but he handles almost every other aspect of production.
I'm blessed to be able to do a lot of these things by myself. I write, I produce, I direct, I even act in my own movies.
Wait a minute. So you want us to tell Americans that our wedding starts at 2 p.m. and tell Africans that it starts at 10 a.m.?
Exactly.
No, that's a four-hour time difference.
That's the only way we can get my people there on time.
African Time also shows typical American rifts between the children of African immigrants and their parents.
Oh, nothing. I'm just trying to clean my room. My mom was all, it is time to clean your room.
Sounds just like my mom.
In a foreign country, there's always a conflict, between African parents and their kids because they're Americans, whether we like it or not. They are born here. This is all they see. But in our mind, they're Africans.
Okay, stop.
Kelechi Eke works as a computer programmer in Dallas, though he hopes to one day make movies full time. He says that's a big challenge for all independent filmmakers.
If you're starting off and looking at the money side of it, I will advise don't do it, because the returns are not immediate.
What keeps him going, he says, is all the positive feedback from people in the United States, Europe, and Africa. One of his films about Africans struggling with their identity in a foreign land is used in Africa studies programs at several major U.S. universities. Kelechi Eke is now developing a site, bigobi.com, where people around the world can see his films streaming online. Greg Flakes, VOA News, Houston.
Twenty-five minutes past the hour, time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with basketball. Uganda's City Oilers edged Rwanda's SPR 64-58 in the men's contest as Kampala City Council authorities beat Rwanda's Army APR 61-36 in the women's event. At the Africa Zone 5 Club Basketball Championships in Mombasa, Kenya on Tuesday, Kenya Port Authorities, KPA, beat Ethiopia's Water 86-43 in men's contest, while KPA's women outclassed Ethiopia's Government House Agency 8747. In football news, following the tragedy in which JS Kabylie's Cameroonian striker Albert Ebosse died after being struck by a projectile during their match against USM Algiers in Tizi Ouzou last Saturday, the Algerian Football Federation and Algeria Professional League disclosed in Algiers on Tuesday that JS Kabylie will until further notice play home matches outside Tizi Ouzou province. JS Kabylie can expect further sanctions when investigations into the tragedy are completed. Staying in Algiers, the Algerian Professional League and JS Kabylie agreed to pay a compensation of $100,000 to Ebosse's family. They will also pay the late striker's family his full salary until the end of his contract. Meanwhile, Rwanda Football Federation President Vincent Nzamwita heads a delegation that appears before the Confederation of African Football Appeals Board in Cairo, Egypt today, Wednesday. Rwanda is appealing against their ban from the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers for fielding Dadi Birori in their match against the Republic of Congo. On a more cheerful note, Ghana's sports minister Mahama Ayariga told the Accra media on Tuesday that Ghana will bid to stage the 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations after Libya withdrew from hosting the event owing to the unstable security situation in the country. The Confederation of African Football is receiving bid applications until the 30th of September. Finally, in golf, the East Africa Golf Challenge tees off in Entebbe, Uganda today, Wednesday. The four-day contest features Burundi, Ethiopia, defending champions Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, and Uganda. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Wednesday morning, August 27th.
What is happening in Nigeria is getting out of hand. The Boko Haram insurgency has taken over Gwaza. It has taken over Madagari local government. They are even extended to Ulak, which is very, very disappointing. So I'm calling the attention of the international community to please intervene on the issue of Boko Haram in Nigerian society, because the government of Nigeria is doing nothing to tackle the issue of Boko Haram. So I'm calling on the international community to please react fastly to the life of the innocent people in Adamawa State. I'm calling from Jamaica and local government area of the thank you, viewers.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to DaybreakAfrica at voanews.com. That's it for this Wednesday, August 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Shryak, as well as post editor Mark Ullman, along with all of our engineers, I'm James Butte in Washington, saying, have a nice day, Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot!
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move, don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there's a youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.